Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As Washington continues to build a foundation for success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show will help. That's our buddies, the law firm Condori and Murat. They're going to help update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. They did it for my parents, done it for my in-laws. Schedule a free consultation with our estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Let's blitz the division right now. Spin y'all around the NFC East. And to discuss the Cowboys, we will begin with Kevin Hagelin, who works on Middays 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, it looks really, really bad from the outside. Washington has not been here very often. 10-point favorites against anyone, and they're 10.5-point favorites at home against Dallas this week. They're 3-7. They don't have Dak Prescott. Is this as bad as it seems?
What do you mean? Mike Parsons just said on his podcast, this is a damn good football team. So I guess I'll go with that, and parts of the roof are falling off, and we've trailed by 20-plus points in six straight home games. Other than that, you know, we're playing football.
Heads are falling off.
Yeah, I kind of do feel like this is the bird in Dumb and Dumber, and we're trying to tape its head back on.
No avail.
You're Billy in 4C, man.
Harry, I took care of it. How did it get this bad? Like early on, they were losing games, but you lose by 6 points to San Fran, touchdown game to Atlanta, beat Pittsburgh. Like, I know the Lions game was pretty horrendous, but they're beating up everybody like that. How did we get here, Kevin?
I think, and I don't want to give them an out because they don't deserve it, and they would have a bad record either way. But I think the nature of some of the blowout games has been a matter of attrition in terms of how many injuries they had. I mean, you saw the way that game finished up. The Cowboys had, at best, two-fifths of their starting offensive line out there. Obviously, their quarterback is not out there. Wide receiver number two is not out there. We didn't actually bother to pick up a starting running back. So I think that's like part of the deal is injuries. That's led to the more lopsided nature, not the losses. The losses would be there, but the more lopsided nature.
Why wouldn't they play Trey Lance at this point instead of running Cooper Rush out there?
What a great question. But then again, like, I think the Cowboys have already blown it on that, and they waited too long. Because if you think about it, you could play Trey Lance right now. Great to figure out if he's going to be the backup next year. Like, he's not in contract. His contract's up at the end of the year. So whatever reason they traded a fourth-round pick for him, they didn't see it. And they went ahead and signed Dak Prescott to his extension anyway. So your best hope is that he sets the league on fire for 7 weeks, signs a contract somewhere else, and you get a comp pick. So why they're not doing that, I don't know. We've asked Jerry Jones that, and he's like, Cooper gives us the best chance to win. All right, great. Well, you got to break off 7 straight wins to make the playoffs. And there's no way that's going to happen.
So I assume people are losing jobs at the end of this thing, right?
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. I'm sure our GM will get fired, right? Is that what you're getting at? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So obviously the scapegoats are going to be Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer because, you know, Brian Schottenheimer is the sort of offensive coordinator, even though Mike McCarthy calls all the plays. I am curious about if the defensive coordinator sticks around after this year, because obviously Mike Zimmer has had a really rough time. But I would be willing to bet you see a clean slate on the coaching staff, because you got to sell something, right? And you're going to bring back a lot of the same team because you still have salary cap problems. So what are you going to sell? I got a brand new coach and a brand new attitude and blah, 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 blah.
Is that a good job?
I mean, look, if you like attention, it's a great job. If you look at what it pays, it's shockingly low, and every single thing you do is critiqued. Like, I guarantee you, Mike McCarthy has gotten way more attention than even when he was, like, winning a Super Bowl with Green Bay, because every single thing you do here is broken down. If you think you're good enough to excel, then go for it. But sometimes the machine here in Arlington crushes people.
I think Dak Prescott's good. And I know that's like not popular, because if you're not like throwing 100% completion percentage for 7,000 yards and 80 touchdowns,
sure. Everybody
rips sure. Everything apart the Dallas Cowboy quarterback does. But I don't know that he's good enough to lift a team out of malaise. Kind of give me a stock report on him. I know he's out obviously with injury long term, but just how are people feeling about him after this year?
People are pretty frustrated, but I think now, for the first time in at least 3 or 4 years, the frustration seems to have shifted back to the front office, because, you know, like you just said, if your quarterback's not freaking perfect all the time and is not Patrick Mahomes, well, he's a bum. But they re-signed him before the season started, even though every indication we got throughout the offseason was this a prove-it year for everybody. Okay, great. So what did we do instead? Sign Dak the day that the regular season starts and pay him $5 million more per season than any quarterback in the league. And what I keep trying to tell people is that contract hasn't even kicked in yet. It starts next year, and his salary cap hit next year is $89 million. Now, what will the Cowboys do? They'll flip some switches, push the money down the line. But guess what? That's how they got into this problem in the first place.
How much of a chance do you give them in Washington this weekend?
Not a lot. If Jaden Daniels could play like that again, and every single player on the team could also play their worst game, then maybe. Just this team gives you no hope from an offensive perspective. Like, obviously they got Micah back. We're hoping Marshawn Nealon will be back this week. There's the potential that Brandon Cooks will be back, but with the offense, you just haven't seen anything in the last couple of weeks that leads you to believe that even if the defense is lights out, they can pull this out. I think 10 points is a very fair spread, if not perhaps a little bit low.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Yes, sir. Later, guys.
Appreciate you, man. Hit that Giant sounder, Darius. Our pal Chris Bisignano, Giants Insider, at Giant Insider on Elon's app, joins us here. So Daniel Jones isn't just the second string guy. He's third string Sam here at this point. What's going on?
He's actually going to be the fourth string.
Fourth string Freddie. Love it.
Yeah, they signed Tim Boyle to the practice squad, and it looks like he's going to be the emergency quarterback Sunday against Tampa Bay. So as we all know, Daniel stays, they are finished here in New York, and I don't think he's going to be around much longer. I can't see him hanging around the last 7 weeks. I can see him asking for his release soon, and that's that. As they say here in New York, that's that.
Well, what's amazing about that, not to say that they shouldn't move on based on this season, but to go from 100 to 0, like every press conference, he gives us the best chance, the best chance, the best chance. And I think we all know that, yeah, now they're out of it. They're done. They're cooked. They're 2-8. And they're flipping the script out of the bye. But I've seen the veteran players in the locker room who are upset. I've seen guys come out going, what they're doing to him is wrong. And they know it's a business. But, I mean, to make him the fourth quarterback and now Tim Boyle's ahead of him when he's the best guy on the roster, I get why they're doing it. You don't want to risk an injury and screwing you over into the future. But how do you save face with players, or do they not care?
No, they care. Look. You know, speaking of some veterans today, matter of fact, I just put something on X, you know, that they're not crazy about the move, but Dable did speak to the veteran leaders, the captains, like Dex Lawrence. I just put on X something that Dex told me. And not that they're crazy about it, but Dable explained to the leaders in the locker room why he did it and all that, and they understand it's a business move, and now they have the attitude of, okay, we're not crazy about it, but hey, we have a job to do. We have to go out and win football games. Because as you guys know, look, there was no way being 2-8 and the $23 million injury clause in Daniel's contract that he was going to play again. And yes, our play is not crazy about that. Yes, but at the same time, you had some saying, yeah, we also understand the business part of this league. So
yeah, that's one of those, if you don't like that one, change the CBA, because that's a rule that makes sense for teams to a lever they can pull. But I want to go to this big picture here, Chris, with the Giants. I know they're 2-8. We all can see the record. So they got three losses on the year that I want to point to that are by more than one score. Opener to Minnesota, week one, weird stuff happens. 10-point loss to Cincinnati, and Philadelphia beat the brakes off them. Every other loss they've had has been within one score. So it's not as if they're getting bludgeoned week in and week out. They're strangely competitive and strangely okay, but good enough to keep games close enough but not win them is kind of the sense I got. Just again, general observation. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of they've been shooting themselves in the foot so many times, making crucial mistakes or crucial turnovers. And even that Bengal guy, even that Bengal game, they scored a late last two-minute touchdown to make it 17-7. Even that game was 10-7 through the stretch. It's just a matter of, look, they just don't execute at the right time. They make crucial mistakes at the wrong time. Last week, the Carolina game in Germany, two red zone interceptions. It's either that or the defense plays well, but then all of a sudden the defense gives up two big chunk plays or a crucial mistake there. They don't get turnovers, guys. They're minus six in turnovers. Okay. It's just a matter of they just cannot put it together for 60 minutes. And you're right. They've been competitive. They've been right there in these games, but they just haven't been able to get over the hump. They haven't been able to execute in the right time during these games, and that's why they're 2-8. You know, and the quarterback play was just average, sometimes good, a lot of times bad, and that's why you're 2-8.
Why didn't they turn to Drew Locke? What's the point of paying him to not go to him?
Because Drew Locke is not going to be on this roster next year. Tommy DeVito, they want to look at some more to see if he has a future with this team. That's why, look, they signed Drew as a veteran insurance policy last offseason, just in case Daniel was not ready at the beginning of the year. Or, obviously, when the season mattered, if Daniel got hurt, they had a veteran to step in yet. That's gone now, right? It's 2-8. The season's done. So Dable wants to see. You know, DeVito did some good things last year. He's 3-3 as a starter. Dable likes him. He's been practicing really well, from what I understand, and the limited reps he gets during the week. And they want to look at him and say, okay, let's see if this guy is a part of our future for 2025. That's all it is.
Chris, thank you as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Hey, talk soon, guys. Be good, all right?
See you, my friend. Good to speak with
bye.
As always. Hit that Eagle sounder, please. Tom Kelly joins us evenings on 94 WIP in Philadelphia at TommyKelly44 on Elon's app. Tommy, we just saw that group. They're good. They're good everywhere. The defense is playing really well. They seem to have kind of gotten over this whole Nick Sirianni yelling at the fans thing, and they felt pretty well coached to me. Where do you have them right now, talking about the Eagles, in the NFL hierarchy?
Yeah, I'm in top five. I'm probably number four right now behind Detroit, the Bills, and still Kansas City just because of what they've done. And, guys, I mean, the thing that's really been the turnaround, and you talked about, is the defense. And you saw it last Thursday night. I mean, really, aside from that one drive, second drive of the game for the Commanders, they weren't able to do a whole lot. You got Zach Bond, who they signed, probably having the best season of any Eagles linebacker in like 20 years. Quinyon Mitchell, first-round pick, has been incredible as a lockdown corner. So that's really been the biggest thing over the last couple weeks, is this defense is so much better than we expected it to be.
Hurts has also gotten away from turning the ball over, which was a problem early in the year. He's protected a lot better. I didn't think he was particularly good, frankly, in the Thursday night game, and certainly not early on. But it does seem like he's protecting the ball better, and maybe that's been a game changer too.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts' season has been really weird because he had a lot of turnovers in the first four games you mentioned. He's really cleaned that up, and that's been a big factor for this team. But still, the passing game just doesn't 100% look right. And you saw, I mean, it doesn't need to be great every week when you have a guy like Saquon who can be a game-breaker like he was at the end of that game last week. And that's what most of the talk is around here right now, is Jalen's cleaned up the turnovers. That's great. That's a start. But with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, those receiving options, the pass game should look better, and it's probably going to need to be better at some point to beat a team like Detroit and really go deep into the postseason.
Health-wise, how are they doing? I remember looking at their schedule before the season, Tom, that the bye, I go, man, that's an early bye week. That's a bummer for them. Turned out to be a godsend because I felt like they needed it right then. How are they health-wise and prognostication maybe going forward?
Yeah, I mean, health-wise right now, they look pretty good. They got Jordan Mailata back for that Washington game. That was really big for them. Bryce Huffman was announced today. He's been dealing with a wrist injury. He's going to have a little procedure. They'll get him back toward the end of the regular season. But Bryce Huffman has kind of fallen out of that defensive end rotation anyway. I mean, Nolan Smith has kind of emerged, and Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham still playing at high levels. So you health-wise, aside from Bryce Huff, who, as I said, had lost playing time anyway, they're in a pretty good spot right now. And as Eagles fans, you know, we're hoping that continues.
Rams, Sunday Night Football coming up. I feel like this is actually going to be a tight game. What's your expectation?
Yeah, this is a big one, and this is a really interesting two-game stretch for the Eagles because they go out to L.A. this week. They don't get on a plane for the rest of the season after this game. And following this week, they go to Baltimore. That's going to be a really good measuring stick game for the Eagles. So I think the way we're looking at it is you get one of these two, and then your schedule the rest of the way is pretty favorable. I mean, you got the Panthers, Cowboys, Giants, all still at home here. Obviously play down Washington and Pittsburgh at home. So I would expect them to beat the Rams. Then Baltimore's going to be tough, but I think the way we're looking at it, you get out of these next two with one win, you're in pretty good shape.
How is Jalen Hurts playing so much better maybe than last year and even the first part of this year?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to the turnovers. I mean, he's not turning it over. They're not asking him to do as much. I mean, obviously, Saquon in the running game has been a huge factor there, and the defense is just so much better, and I think that's taken a lot off Jalen Hurts' shoulders because last year the defense stunk. The running game wasn't what it has been this year. So I just think the lack of pressure that's on him to do everything has kind of made it a lot easier. And when you can rely on Saquon, I mean, that's the talk here is that Saquon should be a legit MVP candidate. I mean, he's been incredible, and he's been a game changer for this offense.
Seven games left for the Eagles. They've got the Rams, Ravens, Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys, and Giants. How many wins do you think they've got remaining on that schedule? 8-2 now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the three at home, Panthers, Giants, Cowboys, they should absolutely be wins. I'd say they win at least five of those games. I think they'll be able to win five of them. But the big deal is, I mean, they probably need six to get that one seed. And that's where we're kind of looking at this point. Obviously, the win over Washington last week was huge for the division. But if they're going to catch the Lions, they probably need to win six out of these last seven. And that's why if they could somehow win these next two and go into that final five games where you have those three easy ones, that would put them in a great spot. But I think they probably win five. Six is a stretch, but they probably need to win six if they're going to get home field.
Tom, appreciate you, buddy. Good insight, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Tom Kelly on the Eagles. That was interesting. So they're not even really – he's not saying they got to win this to win the division. He's talking about home field advantage.
Yeah, that's the eye line now. After you do what you did last Thursday – You got a couple game lead. You're in a really good spot, getting healthier. Arrow's trending up.
I think high school football's relatable content. Everyone either went to high school or is in high school or is going to be in high school and knows someone who's involved with high school athletics. Where are we headed with high school sports? There's a saga going on in Virginia that is completely fascinating that we'll talk about next right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight. We'll be live and local into the evening with Virginia Tech Athletics here on The Fan tonight. Got some college hoops coming your way. Speaking of levels below the pros, we spend a lot of time talking about the NFL, the NBA, other of the major sports in the D.C. area. I want to dabble down to the high school ranks here for a minute, because this is something that I just find absolutely fascinating. The more I'm reading about it, the more discourse I'm hearing. And I think this is one of those water cooler conversations that is relatable, that everybody is having wherever they are at this juncture. Everyone can relate to high school sports because you came through high school or you got a kid in high school. And I think even if you're in no way linked to what's going on in Virginia right now, I think everyone will have an opinion and can add to the conversation here. So the best way to get into this, I guess, would be to just tell the story of what's going on over at Hayfield High School.
And there's a lot.
There's a lot here. So Danny, ask questions as you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I've done as much researching and I've read all the stories I could. I've watched YouTube interviews with members of the coaching staff and parents. And I've did as much prep as I possibly could to get into this conversation. This is the most written about and talked about high school football story probably in Virginia since the merger of the T.C. Williams Titans back in the early 1970s, which led to Remember the Titans, the movie. It involves multiple investigations for rules being broken. It involves a postseason ban and lawsuits and a court injunction. And so we got to go through it all here. Nobody's really talking about it on the record. That's what's amazing. This is all just coming from reporters who are digging on this and getting sources to give them some intel. But Fairfax County Public Schools and the VHSL and certainly coaches, nobody's talking on the record about this. But here's kind of the general gist, okay? Hayfield, which is in Fairfax over in the Kingstown area, I don't know how to be more specific than that, but Hayfield High School, hired a head coach this past spring into the summer from Freedom High School in Woodbridge. He is a fantastic football coach, has had a ton of success. I've seen Hayfield play multiple times this year. Not only are they one of the most talented public schools I've ever seen, but they're one of the best coached teams I've seen. All right. So this head coach named Darrell Overton comes to Hayfield High School from Freedom High School in Woodbridge, where they've won back-to-back state championships.
Quick pause, quick note. Previously, this program, to be kind, was not only was it not good, it was moribund.
You're talking about.
No, this is Hayfield. They were bad for a long time. The previous 3 years, a head coach who was summarily dismissed by the new principal and athletic director by doing things normally, you just try to make the best of it, whoever your kids are, you build a program, you do okay, they'd drastically outperformed their previous results.
Yeah.
Before he was hired, they were 1-6, could barely field the team. Then they go 5-5, 7-4, 6-5. Huge improvements, big steps forward.
So they won two games in the 2 years before that coach, his name's Aziz, got there, okay? Over the last 3 years, he's won his district 3 straight years, but they haven't won in the playoffs.
Right.
He gets fired, or they move on from him. There's a new principal and a new athletic director that come in there and dismiss him. I guess all of this is alleged based on reports, right? But he's no longer there, and then they go find a new head coach, and they go to Freedom High School, where this guy was coaching. Freedom High School, who scored 60 points in 10 different games last year, who scored 70 points in 5 games, who led a team 91-0 at the half and won a game 112-6 last year with one of the best prep teams in recent Virginia State history. They won their state title game a couple years ago by 55 points,
mm-hmm.
right? Back-to-back titles. So they go get this coach, and he comes over to Hayfield High School to be the head coach. That is not that uncommon, by the way. That
sure.
happens. Like mm-hmm. you leave schools, you go coach at another place, right? What's interesting about this story is that pretty much his entire staff, or a big chunk of it, also comes to Hayfield, and the way that the reporting's been done, as many as 24 new players came to Hayfield as well. Now, the numbers are varying based on what you read and where, and I think it's hard to iron all of this out and pin it all down, but 14, it seems like to me, based on at least some of the reporting, the Defector had a great story on this from Dave McKenna within the last couple days. I think he used that number. 14 of the 24 players were from Freedom who played with this head coach before, and another 10 came from all over the area. Dematha, schools in D.C., Maryland, where they knew the coach, who's like spends a lot of time and works his butt off at the youth level, starting at 8 years old with a lot of these kids. And so they know him and they like him and they want to play for him, which is not a bad thing, by the way. He's someone that they want to play for. So they follow him essentially to Hayfield is the idea, okay? So Fairfax County Public Schools catches wind that there's 24 new players coming in and that 14 kids are transferring with a staff and a coach from another school from Prince William to Fairfax, and they do an investigation before the season started. Because you're not allowed to recruit players.
Very explicit.
You're just not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not allowed really even to transfer just on the basis of athletics. Which I find to be, if I'm being honest, silly. Because you can transfer just for the basis of being a theater kid who wants to go to a theater school. There's no rule against that. But if I want to play football for a certain coach somewhere, I'm not allowed to transfer to do that just for athletics. But the big rule in question here is, were the kids recruited or did they just up and decide they wanted to play for this coach? But there's very specific rules in Virginia in high school athletics, which is to say, Danny, that you've got to live in that district. You've got to have a residence there to play there. So obviously, the other schools are pretty upset about this, and they're going, wait a second. Why are they allowed to do this? So Fairfax County Public Schools goes through and does this investigation. This is before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think a handful of the kids got ruled ineligible. I don't know if they came back or not. But by and large, of these two dozen kids, many of them go on to play with the new coach and the new staff at Hayfield, right? They come back, though, FCPS, and there's no written report. This is like what happens in the NFL. Like, nobody sees any report.
Right.
There's nothing written. There's no, here's what we found. They just say, everything's fine. There was, like, according to, again, The Defector, this story, written in The Defector by Dave McKenna, they basically, at a hearing one night, just say, they're fine. We looked into it. No problem. And people are asking questions, and they cut the thing short, and they're like,
they literally said, well, we're not giving you freedom of information requests. We're not allowing reporters at events. They literally, there's one event where there's a hearing about this taking place where they removed reporters. Said you had to be back 200 yards from the front, which is not correct. It's not a thing, but that's what was going on here.
So Hayfield, because they've got an amazing team with amazing athletes, and by the way, the kids did nothing wrong. I mean, they're playing high school football, in my opinion, in terms of, like, they're not the bad guys in this story. Many of them are unbelievable. I've seen them play two times.
Sure, yeah.
They have kids going D1. They got a kid going to Tech, who's one of the best high school running backs I've ever seen. They got a kid going to Clemson, who plays wide receiver. Like, they are loaded, right? They go 9-0 this year in the games that count on their schedule. I say that because they played one game against a private school, and they got beat by Riverdale Baptist.
Who does what they're doing better and beat them 55-30.
Correct, but they're allowed to do it.
Mm.
See, Hayfield is running, in my opinion, and we'll get into this, but basically they're operating like a private school in public school, and that's why they're getting so much heat from all these other schools. Because in private school, you can at Riverdale Baptist, you can bring in 30 kids. You can recruit. You can do that. You're allowed to do that. And Hayfield would tell you they didn't recruit, and maybe they didn't. I'm not suggesting they did. I'm just suggesting that a lot of kids moved into that area or are now going to that school that weren't a year ago. And you don't see in mass anything like that happening in Virginia high school athletics. But they go 9-0. Every one of their games in their district, which is not a particularly good football district, by the way, ends with like an entire second half of a moving clock slaughter rule. They outscore their opponents 563-13.
Quick pause there. Several incidents, several games, you basically have these scores basically like that at the end of the first quarter, second quarter. And this guy's running up the score, just throwing Hail Marys and bombs and everything else to keep going. You have teams quite literally not running plays, just taking delay of games with a running clock for the mercy rule to not let them get the football back.
Right.
So for second halves of games, the entire game, these players on this team that's so dominant are literally just standing there with hands on their hips because coaches cannot believe this is what's happening.
Now, the school that they came from, the players and the coach, could barely field a team this year. 7 of their 10 scheduled games didn't get played because they didn't have enough players left at that school. They'd been outscored 392-10 this season at that school where they had won 29 straight games before this season with the coach and many of their best players leaving. But as the year went on, this story becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and now the VHSL decides we got to get involved. To me, they dropped the ball already, just like Fairfax County did because the season has started.
Mm-hmm.
You said that the team was on the up and up. You said they could play, essentially. Now, VHSL leader, I think the guy's name is Billy Hahn, takes notice. And basically, they start doing their investigation. And this is where I kind of got fascinated by this about a week ago. So the VHSL ruled the final week of the regular season that Hayfield was banned from the playoffs for what they called, I think it's called proselytizing. That's the word that was used.
It's a fancy word for recruiting, basically.
Essentially. And the Hahn memo that was sent out, according to the defector, said that mass migration had disadvantaged Freedom athletes by crippling the Woodbridge School's football program. VHSL also asserted that because of the talent imbalance brought about by transfers, all teams, quote, who will compete against Hayfield this school year have been disadvantaged, end quote. And as penance for the proselytizing that they found, that created a competitive disadvantage in their mind, the VHSL said that Hayfield could play in the regular season, but they couldn't take part in the playoffs two straight years. But this is what's so crazy. So they come out and they say this on basically the day of the final game of their regular season. They go beat someone 62-0. I think they played Lee. And Lee, by the way, or no, Lewis.
Lewis.
Which is the same as Lee. Mm-hmm. Changed his name. That was the 63-0 game that you're talking about, where the report was that they were just kneeling the whole second half
mm-hmm.
because they didn't want to give them the ball back and keep giving up touchdowns.
Yep.
So that day they find out, oh, basically 2 weeks before the playoffs, at the end of their season, they can't play in the playoffs. I think that's wrong, by the way. Like, that should have been done months before that to those kids at Hayfield, or even, you know, the staff or the athletic director and the principal, whoever hatched this big plan. Having said that, though, the parents at Hayfield, according to the reporting, then file a lawsuit. Father says that that his son is suffering reputational harm because of the suspension. A mom comes out and says if Hayfield's kept from the playoffs, it would cause immediate, substantial, and irreparable harm on the student-athletes. And so they're able to, even though no one takes this very seriously initially, get this emergency hearing on November 15th, which is the same day that the playoffs start. This is what's the craziest thing about this story to me. So on November 15th, a week after we found out Hayfield was not going to play in the playoffs in the news, right? And I really didn't know a ton about everything yet and started reading into it at that time. On November 15th, there was a hearing at 2 p.m., the playoffs, 1 through 8 seeds. Hayfield was not one of them. They were the number one seed that didn't get to be a part of the playoffs. At 2 p.m., they're in this hearing at Fairfax County Circuit Court to see if they could get back into the playoffs. Around 4 o'clock, teams are finding out Hayfield's back in. There's no game tonight. So you've got at Lake Braddock High School, $4,000 being spent on chicken and pizza for their concession stand for a game that doesn't happen. You've got a team at Robinson High School, I think it was, and they were only 3-7. But for 2 weeks, they were a playoff team as an 8 seed that now will not be a playoff team anymore. And the rest of the seeds, Danny, because you're preparing for the seed you're about to play, and the seeds all change when Hayfield becomes the 1 seed, they prepared for 2 weeks and practiced for a playoff game that now changes, and you've got to play a different team because the Hail Mary worked, and the judge ruled that Hayfield, based on I guess the technicality of the investigation or the VHSL not doing something correctly, they said Hayfield is absolutely allowed to play for now. We'll revisit this basically in a hearing on December 5th, right before the region final. So then they bag all the games that day. They move them all to Thursday, which is tomorrow. And the teams that win will have to play 3 times in 9 days. They play Thursday, Tuesday, Friday, I think it is, or Saturday.
But just because the playoffs for everybody else have already started.
Yeah, because they got to catch up. So now, if you win, you play on Tuesday. If you win again, you play that week. 3 times in 9 days, which is insane. Mm-hmm. We talk about how Thursday night football is not a great idea in the NFL level. Think about high school kids,
man.
All because now they're putting the team back in the playoffs that was out. And it's just a crazy situation. It's amazing. And really, to me, it's a conversation about, like, where are we headed in high school football? Because there's two sides of this. The Hayfield side, if I could start with that, is they're saying, we didn't recruit anybody. We have a coach that's very popular that kids want to play for. The parents would tell you, I've seen some of the videos they've done and stuff, where they go, my kid loves this guy. And some of them moved and bought land, you know, or, you know, went and bought a townhouse or whatever and did it the right way and said, we're going to live here and we're going to play for this guy. But at the same time, at the high school level, at a public school, you're not allowed to have these like mass transfer situations because you're not a private school. That's why public and private don't play. And so it feels like what's at stake here to me is the future of high school football in Virginia. Whereas I saw one of the parents saying, you can do this. Have you watched the college game? It's the open portal. It's free agency. And it's like,
exactly.
No, that's literally not the point of what we want in high school football.
And that's what happened. And that's the next step, unless somebody does something.
He said, whether it was one transfer or 30, kids and parents could transfer and play for who they want to play for. That's it. You can't stop that. If you follow college sports with the transfer portal, kids transfer all the time.
Yeah, quite literally different rules. I mean, in a YouTube interview, they literally said, we're transferring for sports. which is strictly forbidden.
That video is gone now.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's there's a rule that says that.
I thought this was another parent, though, at Hayfield. Everybody is concerned about their kids. They want to have the best for them, like the chance to get a scholarship. Overton does that for these kids. Kids transfer for all sorts of different reasons. Athletics, for band, for drama, for academics. What's wrong with that? Yes, it's weird to have all the kids come to Hayfield, but what's wrong with having a good public school that's good at football? So that's their argument. The flip side is you're beating everyone 80-0. You're in a district where the football's not particularly good. You're running a DeMatha at Hayfield where, you know, there have certainly been transfers and shadiness and people who move from time to time. That happens, but never in mass like this. And so it's one of those things where if you're the VHS and a VHSL or Fairfax County Public Schools, I think this is a seminal moment where we've got to decide, what do we want? Do we want transfer portal, open season, college football rules in high school, or is that not what high school football should be about? And we say, hey, if you want to do this, go to a private school. Go to Bishop Ireton and then run your program there. You know, part of the reporting was that the AD and the principal hatched this plan. So the principal came from Richmond, where they have schools like this doing stuff like this. And the AD, I guess, reportedly, allegedly, whatever, came from like a DC school that recruits and does all this, and they're allowed to. It's more of a private, you know, magnet type situation. Well, that's not the way it happens in the public school. And so there's kind of this plan that they address to the parents, according to one of the reports, where it's like, we want to be on TV. We want deal. We want to get a jersey deal and shoe deal, and we want to be on ESPN, and we want to be a national power. Why can't we do that right here in Hayfield? And their slogan's Hayfield by 40. And so I think there's a lot of people that go, good luck, like, go do that. But my whole point is, it's a public school, and there's rules that if we're just going to allow that, this is going to happen every year at schools all over the area, and it changes at high school athletics forever, in my opinion, in a very bad way.
Yeah,
but I want to know what people think. So I'll tag you back in a second. I just wanted to lay all that out. And
it's a lot, I know.
Let's get some thoughts on this. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this story, I guess, number one? And from just a sheer big picture high school football, high school athletics standpoint, do you feel like this is a moment, a kind of a fork in the road moment where they got to figure out, are they going to allow this or not? Because this could be a game changer moving forward. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the program. It means a lot. One of the best football teams in the DMV is Hayfield High School, and there is this, I don't even want to call it developing. It's been a big story all year, but it just keeps getting wilder, really dating back to the 15th of November, 5 days ago, this past Friday, when the high school playoffs were supposed to start without Hayfield because of their alleged recruitment of players based on the VHSL's ruling. The Fairfax County Public Schools that had already looked into it and said that they were fine with it, even though there was no written report, then wrote a letter with Hayfield saying, we don't agree with you. They did an injunction at the last minute. And literally at 4 o'clock, the day of all the playoff games in an 8-team field in their region, here in the northern region, the playoffs got canned, the games didn't get played, and everything got pushed back till tomorrow. Hayfield is now back in. We're just talking about kind of high school football in the State of the Union. This was a team that hired a new head coach who's a phenomenal coach by all accounts. Really, really talented team. They're sending kids to D1 at a lot of positions. But they had 20-plus new players come in, including the majority of the starters on the 2-time state championship team where he was at in Prince William, Danny. And that team could barely field a roster this year. They had to forfeit 3 of their games because they didn't have enough kids there. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Hayfield goes out and outscores their opponents by 600+ to 6 this season, I think it was. Look up the numbers here.
593-68.
There you go. Well, that's counting the game against the private
school. Yeah, that counts their loss for Roe Baptist. Count.
They're 9-0, and they've given up, I think, 6 points to teams in their own district play and region play.
Yeah, so there's so much wrong here. There's so much wrong with this on so many different levels. Response was wrong. The initial acts are wrong. The defiance is wrong. The thumbing your nose at people is wrong. The running up the score on people is wrong. Everything about it is terrible. It's despicable in my humble view. What is a conference? What is an athletic conference? It's an association of like-minded schools in a usually pretty reasonable geographic area. Forget about what college has already done, because that ship has sailed. Two bases out of the tube on that. But it's like-minded schools that are similar, competing on as level playing field as you can have, right? That means we all agree to a set of rules and we go about it. Now, there are going to be some years where your team is better than my team and my team is better than your team and you're stronger in one sport than I am. But in general, you're supposed to have a pretty level set of competitions across multiple sports with like-minded schools. So I think of my conference in high school, for example. We were the Interstate Athletic Conference. We're a better conference than what, you know, Georgetown Day was, where they're calling teachers by their first names, and if you don't feel like going to class, you don't. Murray, Sidwell, that was a little bit more, you know, Quaker, lovey-dovey. They're there just to have fun, hope both teams win, right? Then there's the Catholic League, who fields juggernauts. It's DeMatha, St. John's, Good Counsel, O'Connell, Paul VI. You can run down the list. They treated things differently than our little conference did, right? So there's a reason that my high school was not in one of those other two conferences. They're like-minded. When somebody goes so outside of the norm, You're breaking it. That's not the point of all this. For everybody going, he gets guys to D1. Bet you the kid going to Clemson would have found a way to go somewhere without this guy. Bet you the kid that's a great running back that's going to Virginia Tech probably gets noticed by some colleges here and there.
In fairness, that's his nephew. And his dad is his brother who's the defensive coordinator.
Using him by way of example.
Baller, by the way.
He's a great player. Colleges probably took notice. Some letters probably started coming in. You don't play for that guy, it's fine. But my point is, when you break this kind of deal, regardless if it's illegal or not, you've now violated everything we're supposed to be standing for here in terms of fairness and competition. And at the college level, it's become big business. I lament it. It's sad, but it's gone. And at the pro level, it's a different animal with CBAs.
Well, here we go.
And you can stop it right now. We could put a stop to this, saying no.
Because high school NIL is already a thing, by the way. Right? So we're already going that direction. But this is my point. If you listen to the argument on that side, it should be open season. Why shouldn't I be able to go wherever I want? And if you want to have that discussion with Fairfax County Public Schools, where you actually have to live in the area to go there, or with the VHSL, I think that's a reasonable conversation. Go have it. But there's rules right now that say you live there or you don't play for that team. Now, a lot of these kids, I'm sure, did it the right way, got the address, whatever they had to do. And again, it's not like there's never been transfers. But to anyone who says, oh, this has happened for a long time, find me one time when dozens of kids all moved at the same time into the same school. And what about all the kids that are already there that didn't go out and didn't play this season at that school? It's what the VHSL said. Woodbridge's Freedom High School, program's cooked. Done. They couldn't even field a team this year. Let alone all the other teams that you're playing and you know, winning 60-0. By the way, 563-13 was their slogan was by 40.
Not counting their loss to another school that does what they did better. So I don't know what if you get to count it or not, but whatever.
Like, to me, if I'm them, I go, we can do this. Because people want to play for me. I've coached these kids since they were little. I don't think it's that bad. If like at 8 years old, I was with this guy playing in Pee Wee, he's got his feeder programs and stuff. And I want to go play for him. You just go to a private school and do it. You're allowed to do it. Go to Bishop O'Connell.
It depends on the.
Or go to Paul the Sixth.
It depends on the school. Where some places, like as you said, they've thrown that kind of decorum and whatever out the window, and it's an arms race, and that's fine. It's a bummer because it shouldn't be that way, right? It shouldn't, but it's too late for that. So I know I'm shaking my fist at the
city. You're allowed to do it there. Like, this to me is just like, what are we doing here? Why and totally. What is the point? What are we trying to accomplish in high school football and at a public school in Virginia to win a state championship? I'm not saying no one should want to win a state championship. Where Kedrick Olsen coaches at Stonebridge High School, where they've putting pelts on the wall and it's big time money and it's basically like a de facto college program. A little different, I would say, than at Lee High School, where they're trying to field a football team and going up against Hayfield. It's just a different thing.
You're in Lubbock, Texas, or somewhere, and it's a 6A program. There's a reason you don't go schedule, you know, some 1A farm town that can't compete with you. But this guy would probably love to do that and put up 100 points just for some kind of reason. So then, I hadn't even gotten to the Virginia High School, whatever their acronym is, this response and with the superintendent and everything else is even worse. The idea that they go the 11th hour after they've already made the mistake and after enough investigations happen, after enough like, hey, look at this. This person, I'm making this up. This person's address is a park. Hey, look at this. This dude lives in D.C. Or, hey, look at this. You think 15 people from this high school all live within the same 3-block radius? Doesn't that seem fishy? After enough things are thrown in their face, they kind of went, yeah, we're gonna change the playoff schedule 2 hours before the playoff
yeah,
things are.
You already messed up on your chicken and your pizza. There's no game there tonight.
Yeah, you messed. That's messed up. Then the judge, who by the way was my buddy's attorney, when a police officer hit his car with me in it, and he didn't show for that hearing when I went and had to take time off work to be a witness. That's the guy that issued the judge order. Crazy to me, smallest world ever.
That's hilarious.
Shout out to Manny Capsalis.
Here's a tweet I just want to read really quickly. Because this is the other side of this that, frankly, I'm not on of, like, let's do it this way. Let's make high school football college football.
Enjoy it, I guess.
This guy tweeted me and goes, it's a dawn of a new era. Let Overton cook. And that's the name of the head coach.
Ugh.
It was, like, a very talented coach. But, like, that's what the whole debate is here. We're about to take the calls. It's right at the top of the hour here. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I see someone actually knows the Freedom Program really well. I see there's a former coach on the line. I want to hear from you guys because I'm fascinated by this. I'm obsessed with this right now. I think it's a huge, huge day. It's a huge, huge moment for high school football and high school athletics in Virginia. But to me, that's the conversation. This idea of dawn of a new era. Is that the era we want? The just transfer portal high school football, the haves and the have-nots? If you're a school where the kid doesn't want to go there, then he just transfers to the good school and beats you by 70? Really? That's admirable? That's what we're doing? Grant and Danny on the fan.